Well, hello everybody, and welcome to What's the Quack. I'm your host, Ducky, and I hope we're all doing well out there. I hope you all had a lovely Christmas. We're just into the new year now, 2023, so I hope you're up to start of this year is going a little bit better than perhaps the start of last year for you. You know, start a year off with a bang. Going to address the elephant in the room right now, something you're probably all thinking. Ducky, where the fuck have you been? It's been, what, 4 months since you posted a podcast? What the fuck? It's probably longer, to be honest. I think it's longer. And it's been about 2 months, if not a little bit longer, since I posted a video on the main channel. Yeah, so I've been absent. And lads, I wish I could tell you that, you know, life got in the way or something came up or something happened that would justify it. But I'll be quite honest with you. I just didn't do anything because I didn't feel like doing anything. Struggled a bit with motivation in these last couple of months. Not so much the podcast. The podcast is nice and easy work, realistically, you know. Spend a couple of hours just outlining what I want to talk about and then hit recording. So it's all very easy. But that comes second fiddle to the main channel, and I don't allow myself to do podcast episodes unless I've got work on the main channel done, because that's what pays me, you know, that's what pays the bills. Yeah, no, just struggled with motivation to actually sit down and get shit done these last couple of months. And I don't know why. See, you know when you're like talking to people and, you know, they seem a bit off and you're like, what's wrong with you? They're like, oh, I'm just a bit stressed out, or, you know, life is getting on top of me. I'm just feeling a little bit depressed. I don't know how people do that. I don't know how they just answer the question and know the answer, you know? Because when people ask me, it's like, oh, why haven't you posted in a while? And I'm just like, I don't know. I think there's something wrong with me, but I don't know what it is. I'm not depressed. I'm not unambitious. I just kept kicking the can down the road and kept procrastinating, and anytime I did sit down to do some work after about 25 minutes, it felt like it was actually causing me some fucking physical pain. Being a bit overdramatic, but you know what I mean. Yeah, no, I do have a theory though, and I've come to realise that this theory is actually, turns out to be pretty solid so far, but I'll explain. My theory is, I think I might have always had ADHD. I can actually feel half of you listening there rolling your eyes. But no, I've genuinely always assumed that I did. But, you know, it wasn't getting in the way of life all my life, so I didn't really kind of care to look into it any further than that, you know. But, like, you know, all the signs are there. I did really shit at school. I never did homework. I fucking couldn't stand studying. I zone out in the middle of conversations all the time. Timekeeping, losing shit, all that shit kind of, it all makes sense. You know, all the symptoms fit. My theory is it's never really become an issue because, you know, you turn up late to work or you don't do your job properly and all that, you get fired. So, you know, there's a big risk involved. So you kind of got to get on with it. But now that I'm my own boss, getting easily distracted, not being able to sit down and do some long, tedious work like editing videos and stuff like that, you know, I might be just starting to get in the way because, you know, at the very start of my YouTube career, if you want to call it that, it feels weird saying that. You know, it feels like I'm, I don't know, putting a jacket on a dog and going, look, it's a builder. It feels weird saying that. But like at the start of it, you have the motivation because it's new and it's weird and it's, you know, it's a fun job, to be fair. It's a very different job. It's fun. But obviously as the novelty of that has worn off over the years and it's just become work. Like I hate calling it work because I do love what I do, but anything will become routine after a while, I suppose would be the best way to describe it. Like if you were to start dating Anya Taylor-Joy, or is it Anya Taylor-Joy? I don't know. But if you started dating her, fucking unbelievable looking woman, you'd like, in your mind, you're just like, I would absolutely pound her every time the clock ticked. Like, it would be endless. But you know, after about a year or two, it would just be like any other relationship. You know, you'd get used to it. It's like when people suddenly come into a lot of money, after a while, the novelty of that wears off and they get used to it. You know, your brain chemicals have a fantastic way of leveling out, regardless of how good or how shit your life is. You know, you tend to go back down to baseline after a while. So I think that's kind of what happened when it came to YouTube. Like, this is my theory. I don't know. I haven't had it confirmed yet, but I think basically since the novelty of being a YouTuber has pretty much worn off me lately, longer editing videos, because my videos take weeks to make, doing that kind of work has become very tedious. And to somebody who has ADHD, that's like, you know, that's the worst thing in the world, is long, tedious, fucking boring work. So I decided this year, 2023, that I'm going to get it checked, just to be sure, because I could be talking out my arse as well. You know, it's kind of, everybody thinks they have something, and especially ADHD, because a lot of the symptoms people just have anyway. You know, it's kind of like, as I said, zoning out in the middle of conversations, forgetting where shit is, all this kind of stuff. Everybody suffers from it. But I think the key difference is, like, somebody with ADHD has to deal with it all the time, whereas, you know, normal people just get it now and again. So I've decided to get a check this year. So I was in with my doctor before Christmas, and I said it to him. I was like, here, I want to get checked for ADHD, but all the psychologists and psychiatrists in Ireland that do it privately only take referrals. Now, the problem with in Ireland is you have to kind of do it privately, because I was looking at, you know, people talking about it online. If you go to public route, it could take well over a year, 2 years to get a fucking diagnosis. And then there's a good chance that the person who diagnoses you hasn't a fucking clue about adult ADHD in the slightest. So they're kind of not necessarily qualified for the job. So yeah, I was just like, fuck it. Private is the only way to go. Problem with private though in Ireland is it's content expensive, but we'll get back to that. So I said it to my doctor, but I wanted to get like a referral to get assessed for ADHD. And the first thing he said to me was, you know, they don't give anything for that. And I was like, well, what the fuck? Like, his brain went straight to that. I was like seeking drugs, because I know they give something for ADHD. They give like Ritalin or stimulants or something, you know, to kind of manage the brain things. Like, I know for a fact, I've been looking into it, but his first thing was, they don't give anything for that. Like, straight away. Like, here I am looking to go the private route to get an ADHD assessment, something that costs 600 quid plus. And he thinks I'm in there seeking drugs. I was a pubic hair away from saying, do you not think that I can get drugs with 600 quid elsewhere? Like, a doctor is the last person I'd go to with 600 quid if I was looking to get high, to be honest. Like, come on, the fuck. Like, there was absolutely no other possible way I could get high with 600 quid. Oh my God. That kind of made me laugh, but I was kind of annoyed in the moment, because I'm just like, that's not the correct way to, you know, talk to a fucking patient who has a genuine concern and wants to get checked. I didn't go in there asking for drugs. I went in there to ask for a referral so I can get assessed. You notice, it's that old Irish fucking skepticism. You know, the kind of like, what are you after? What's your fucking real plan there? Like, you know, you're being snaky. I know you're being snaky. But he said he'd give me a referral anyway. You know, I just thought, it's like, look, I don't care if they give something or not. I'm looking for a referral, not an opinion, you fuck. So he said he'd give me a referral. But that's not going to be getting done till, I don't know, coming weeks, we'll say. But I do have a bit of a problem with it. My problem is I don't know if that's actually possible to get an accurate ADHD diagnosis in Ireland, full stop. Because if you go the public route, there's a good chance that you may be seen by like a psychologist or a psychiatrist that isn't well versed in adult ADHD, so they won't know and they might misdiagnose you. There's a good chance of that. Because again, adult ADHD is something that's relatively kind of modern understanding of it have come in. So, you know, there's a good chance you might be misdiagnosed or just told you don't have it when you actually do, or you do when you don't, you know, so it could be misdiagnosed there. But if you go private, you know, I feel like if a psychologist or psychiatrist takes 600 euro off you, they might feel obliged to give you a diagnosis if you think you have it. Because then if they tell you you don't have it, they're going to feel like, oh shit, are they going to get a bit confrontational now because they're after dropping 600 quid and I'm telling them they're after wasting 600 quid, you know? So they might feel kind of obliged to give you a diagnosis even if you don't. And then I don't know if they get a bit of extra profit then for filling out prescriptions for people who do have, like, you know, these problems like ADHD and what have you. So I don't know if they have an incentive to diagnose you then as well. So I don't know if it's actually fucking possible to get an accurate diagnosis, but I'm going to try get a diagnosis anyway. So yeah, that's my theory of what my lack of motivation could be just purely fucking chemical. Because I haven't been depressed. I haven't felt out of sorts or stressed or anything. I've just not been able to pull myself up by the fucking bootstraps and get things done. I just keep fucking procrastinating. I'll update you. I know, people do love an old mental health podcast, so I'll give you updates when I know more, you know, the tale of the ADHD. I will tell you something funny though. Because I was kind of like, in my mind, when I went for the diagnosis and stuff, I went to my doctor about getting the referral. In the back of my head, I'm just like, are you just looking for an excuse for your laziness? Because that's what I have going on in the back of my head as well. Like, you know, do you actually, because I'm talking to myself here, I'm like, do you actually think you have ADHD, or are you just trying to find a scapegoat for your fucking laziness? Like, you know, it's these kind of things go through your mind. But after I came out of the doctor's that day after asking about the referral, I was talking to my older brother, about it. And I mentioned it to him. It's like, yeah, yeah, I'm going to see if we can get assessed for ADHD. And he's like, ADHD? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like, sure, I have that. I was like, ah? He's like, yeah, yeah, sure, I was diagnosed with that when I was a young fella. And I was like, oh, you fucking kept that under your hat, didn't you? But sure, the fucking, it's just no surprise because he had a bit of a learning disability when he was a teenager. So it was obviously, he was diagnosed with ADHD along with the learning disability when it came to like reading and writing when he was young. So I was like, fucking, it's apparently it's like quite genetics related or genetically linked. So if somebody in your family has it, there's going to be a good strong or a stronger possibility that you have it. So I was like, oh, okay. Apparently my older fucking brother has it. A couple of days later, I was talking to my younger brother about it. And he turned around and he's like, oh yeah, sure, I have that. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, is my whole fucking family diagnosed with this and just nobody fucking told me? What the fuck, like? Fucking two of them diagnosed as kids in school with ADHD and haven't thought about it ever since, like, you know? So I just thought that was fucking hilarious. So I suppose it does give some validity to my claim. But yeah, no, I'll keep you updated on that as we go forward. But that's my running theory on why I've been a lazy bastard as of late. So what else have I gotten up to in the meantime? I will say, actually, after I convinced myself out of my kind of lazy spell, I was like, okay, now it's been fucking 2 months, just get shit done whether you like it or not, and I basically forced myself to sit down and get work done. Literally, like, an hour into, because, like, the video that I'm releasing today, which would have released yesterday by the time this is posted, that was, like, 70% done when I just kind of had stopped working on it. There was a whole fucking, I stopped for like 2 days because like the whole established title thing, because I was supposed to have an established title sponsorship, but then that whole thing fucking happened and then I just didn't get back to it. It kind of upset me momentum. But I was about an hour into editing, you know, back to editing this video. I had only about 2 or 3 days work left in it. And then my monitor fucking failed on my computer. Like it kept fucking flashing up the menu on the computer. On the monitor, like, you know, the color menu that pops up, kept fucking flashing non-stop, just out of nowhere. I was like, oh my fucking God. Typical when I sit down and actually get shit done, something else goes wrong. So I immediately pulled the monitor off the mount, threw it into the back of the car, and I went to a tech repair place that's reasonable, you know, it's close enough to my house. So I brought it into them and they're just like, yep, grand, we'll take a look at it there. You can come collect it tomorrow. And I was like, fine, that's perfect. So did that, came back the next day. They hand me back the monitor and they're just like, oh yeah, just needed a bit of a clean or what have you. And I was like, perfect, grand. Got it home, started working away. And about 5 hours later, started doing it again. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, Jesus Christ. Driving me up the fucking wall. So at this point then, I got pissed off. This was like in and around Christmas now. This is like Christmas week. So at this point, I got pissed off and I was like, right, I'm just going to order another fucking monitor in the meantime and just, you know, I'll fix this after Christmas, get this fixed after Christmas proper. So I went on to Argos. Some of you guys from the UK and Ireland know Argos. I went on to them and they did like next day delivery and they had a monitor there and I was like a Samsung G5 monitor, you know, kind of pretty much comparable to the monitor that was failing. So I was like, grand, yeah, I'll get that next day delivery. Bosh, job done. Ordered it. Next day, nothing arrived on. I was like, what the fuck is going on? So I contacted Argos and I was like, yeah, I was got something next day delivery. It's not arrived on at all. And it tells me then that Fastway deliver for us and they don't, you know, they don't deliver on whatever day it was like 2 days before Christmas. They stop collecting orders for delivery then. And I was like, that was nowhere on the fucking website. It was literally nowhere on the website when I fucking purchased it. And like, you know, they should have fucking warned me on the website. Had I fucking known it wasn't going to arrive on it, I would have just gone to fucking Curry's or something and picked up something to do me in the meantime. So yeah, I was pissed off with them. And so I just said, fuck it, I'll just have to leave the video till after Christmas. You know, a couple of days after Christmas, wait for the monitor to arrive on and do it then. So it did. The monitor eventually arrived on 5 days after it was supposed to. And plugged it in, start using it away, finished the video. That was grand. A1. Sat down to play a game on it and I noticed something. There was a tiny little black speck on the screen. I was like, oh, I'm after getting a bit of dirt in the screen. So lick me thumb there and rubbed it away. And it didn't go away. So I cut my phone and I zoomed in and it's got 6 dead fucking pixels on the screen. Oh my God, that's so fucking annoying. So, yeah, that's the fucking problem I have now. That's my first world problems. That's my rant of the day. As some of you are going to say you missed me and doing a podcast, and realistically, it's just me sitting here whinging about my fucking mediocre life. But yeah, a brand new monitor, 6 dead fucking pixels on it. And apparently, I was looking into this. Apparently, Samsung don't refund you a monitor. They won't class a monitor as faulty if it has 4 or less dead pixels, which, you know, mine has 6. So thankfully I think Argos will take it back regardless anyway. But that's kind of a cunty policy on them. And I think they're the only company that does monitors that has that policy. Because I consider one dead pixel a faulty fucking screen. Certainly fucking four of them as well. I don't know how you could sell a monitor as a monitor manufacturer and have dead pixels on the screen and say that's not faulty. If somebody's paying for the whole fucking screen, then they're paying for all of those pixels. If one of them's not there, then that's fucking false advertising. I digress. Did you really miss me, lads? Did you really miss me? I don't think you did. I think you just wanted a bit of background noise there, just to fill the silence. Stop you thinking about your own dark thoughts there. I have some news about my dog, Max. My dog, Max, is now pretty much effectively deaf. Completely and, you know, more or less stone deaf. I don't know what's gone into it. It's most likely old age. The dog is 11 years old. And he's had wicked kind of ear problems for the vast majority of his life. He's got wicked ear infections over the years. And we've started to notice recently that he's just not responding to being called or anything like that. And yeah, I've just assessed he's more or less totally deaf. Like if you shout loud enough, he can hear you. But then when you're shouting, he thinks he's in trouble. So he like kind of like, oh, goes, oh no. So you can't really shout commands at him. you can't shout a calm tone of voice at somebody, you know? Yeah, he's more or less stone deaf. Thankfully, like throughout his life, unintentionally, I've trained him with hand signals. So anytime I've told him to sit, I'll point at the ground, lie down, I'll kind of lie my hand flat. You know, all these kind of tricks and commands I tended to inadvertently associate them with a hand gesture or hand movement. So it's not been terrible that he's gone deaf. Like I still have some control over him, but the problem is if he wanders away from you, you can't call him back. You kind of have to go over and tap him on the arse to get his attention. Max, there we go. You heard that one. Sorry, he was licking his paws there. But yeah, he's more or less stone deaf, which is a bit sad, because it's like my first thought when that happened is I asked Connie, I was like, here, can you get hearing aids for dogs? And she was like, no, of course you can't get fucking hearing aids for dogs. Who would do a hearing aid for a dog? And I'm like, I'd do a hearing aid for a dog. You're doing it for humans. Surely you can get them for dogs as well. I'd feel bad that he's hearing is gone. Like, you know, it's got to be shit. Especially if it can be fixed. Like, you know, this is a problem that we solved with like elderly people decades ago. It was like when the vet told me that he's a bit of a heart murmur. They told me about a year ago, he's a very slight heart murmur. And I was just like, okay, right, yeah. So what do we do? Heart transplant, is it? Like, I go straight to fucking human medicine. And they're like, no, they don't do heart transplants and that for dogs. And I was like, well, why not? And they're like, well, most likely it's just that nobody'd pay it because it'd be ridiculously expensive. And I'd be like, yeah, but I'd still pay it. Like, I'd probably sell one of my own organs to fund a transplant of my dog's organs. Like, you know, that's the way I am. Like, when I go into a vet with fucking Max and they're just like, oh, yeah, we'll need to send off his bloods now and that'll cost an extra 100 and something euro to get that checked. And I'm just like, yeah, do it if he needs it, fuck it. And you'd be amazed at the amount of people that don't get, like, shit done for their animals. Like, they'll get a cat or a dog, but they're just not willing to spend the money to maintain the health. It's like, I don't know if they just don't consider it or it's just pure ignorance, but if anything goes wrong with the dog, they're just like, ah, yeah, well, fuck it, put it to sleep. Why would you own an animal and be shocked by, like, medical problems? Like, you know, they're living beings as well, you fucks. They can go wrong as well. But he's gone more or less stone deaf. But I will tell you a little bit of an interesting story that happened today. So, like, where I've moved to, there's this park nearby. It's a lovely park for walking dogs and stuff. Like, big open area. It's a fantastic place. Nice for myself there as well, you know, to go off in the morning, get out and touch some grass, get some fresh air, like, you know. So I take him off for a walk more or less every morning now, out there. And when I was walking into the park today with him, there was this couple that had just gotten out of their car there behind me, and they were talking. They were looking around, and the woman says to the fella, which I'm assuming is the husband, she says, oh, so they're leaving dogs in and around this park now. I've been going to this park on and off for like about 10 years. Like, it's a bit of a drive from where I used to live. So I'd go there like once a year or something with the dogs. But like from the last 10, 15 years of my memory, dogs have always been there. Like it's been more or less known as a fucking dog park, more or less. So I'm like, how long has it been since this woman has been in this park where she's like surprised to see dogs all of a sudden? But that's not the best bit. She then proceeded to complain about the dogs being there. She said something along the lines of like,
oh, they leave dogs in this park now. Not sure I agree with that. They'd better keep them on a lead.
She had this pure animosity towards it. Like, the idea of dogs repulsed her. And like, my first thought was like, hold on now. So like, realistically, you haven't been in this park for, maybe we'd say 10 to 15 years. The fact that you're surprised by dogs, it's probably been that long since you've been here. And now you arrive on 10, 15 years later, and you're making demands about this park. Who the fuck are you, Mrs. I haven't been here in 15 years, to say that this shouldn't, that you don't agree with their dogs being in this park that you never arrived onto. What level of fucking entitlement? How fucking dare you? It's like somebody arriving onto your house and dictating how you should fucking keep your garden. It's like, who the fuck are you? You're never here. Fuck off. You know? I was just so taken aback. But what I was so tempted to do was, because she got out of the car and she had like two or three kids with her. I was like, if only I had somebody with me, I was on my own. It would have been perfect to just turn and look and go, oh, so they're leaving children in this park now, are they? Not sure I agree with that. They better keep them on a fucking lead. Would have been brilliant. Would have been brilliant. And I would have absolutely fucking done it as well. Oh, God. I had a woman there today when I was walking around there as well. She was walking with her child. And a child was on like a scooter or something. She was pushing her along. And she turns around, you know, glances backwards and she sees me coming. And, you know, obviously I have Max there and Max is, he's muzzled up and on the lead. Like, so he's a pit bull with a muzzle. So he looks a bit vicious, but I assure you, he's an absolute fucking coward. But the second she seen him, she immediately like grabbed the child and like wheeled off the path to be out of our way. And I hate that fucking mentality. Like part of me loves it because I hate social interaction. So I love what a pit bull can do. When you're walking it down the road, I love that people fuck out of my way so I don't have to interact with them. But I'm still a little bit annoyed by the fact that people are, like, terrified. Especially when they got a muzzle on them. Like, I know it makes them look a bit meaner, but they're much less able to do anything to you with a muzzle on them. They're more or less perfectly safe. Like the biggest thing Max doesn't like that I've kind of copped recently is he's actually getting better. He's getting good with big dogs. He's actually fine with big dogs. It's small little dogs, like Jack Russells and stuff like that. I don't know. With their like fast movement, did they just trigger his prey drive or something like that? But there's been a couple of occasions where he's tried to nip small dogs when I'm letting them interact. But all he can do is kind of bop him with his snout because obviously he can't open their mouth or get at him. So he just kind of shoves the head forward and boops him with his nose. That's the best he can do. He's never attempted to do it with a big dog. He just does it with small dogs that run around really fast. Although, to be fair, he's actually interacted with a couple of, like, Shih Tzus and stuff that are quite old, and he's not been any way aggressive towards them, so I think maybe it just might be the fast movement. But, that's all he can do. So, like, if you see a dog with a muzzle on him, like, they can do fuck all to you other than maybe jump on you. But I've been getting a lot of people avoiding walking near me as of late because, like, a couple of months ago, there was this thing happened recently, like, somewhat nearby of a pit bull that had attacked a child. Somebody had a pit bull and was left out to roam an estate or something like that and attacked a child. So like when that news was like fresh in everybody's minds, everybody was just throwing me looks as I was walking the dog around. I'm just like, lads, calm down. A dog is a fucking dog. Do you notice that with dog like attack stories? If it's just a dog attack, they'll just say dog attack child. But if it's a pit bull, they'll specify it's a pit bull. You ever notice that? It's always, they'll name the breed if it's a pit bull, but they'll never name the breed if it's any other fucking dog. Like, there's one thing that annoys me. And another thing that annoys me, and I read this online, was about 40 to 50% of stories that have reported pit bull attacks child, because, you know, it's a story that's not strange on headlines. Apparently it happens all over the world. But about 40 to 50% of the stories that reported a pit bull attacks child, when somebody looked into them, it wasn't actually a pit bull. It was just like a Rottweiler or a Doberman or something like that. You know, it was kind of a hardier dog, but it wasn't necessarily a pit bull. It was just misreported because maybe it's just a more grabby headline. So that annoys me too. But yeah, that's about all the updates of my morning. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to make a little announcement, lads. Your boy Ducky has an STI. Yes, that's right. Ducky has some supporter tailored inquiries. Yeah, that's what I'm calling it. These are questions from my lovely Patreon and YouTube supporters, the supporters of the Duck Army, who are kind enough to, give me money and to support my work. So I've taken some questions from them. I did a poll or did a post. This post was about 4 months ago. I had planned to do this for my next podcast, which didn't happen for a while, but I still have the questions there. So I will fulfill my obligation here. So, as I said, all these questions come from supporters. If you want to ask a question for the podcast going forward, just become a member of my Patreon or YouTube. Patreon's a quid, YouTube's a fiver, but there's more benefits on the YouTube one. So, I don't know. Figure it out yourselves, lads. You're smart people. But, you can just post it in that there and then they'll make it on the podcast. So, I've got three questions here from the supporters here that I'm going to address right now. So, the first question comes from Nicholas Churm. Longtime supporter. He says, as a fellow escapee of the retail slave trade, sorry, now I'm slightly retarded when it comes to reading, what advice can you give for those who are considering this career path? Well, I assume you mean retail, and I would, my biggest advice for anybody who's got a job in retail, and this would probably be particularly for younger people who have just come out of school and have absolutely no qualifications, so retail is about the only thing you can realistically get a job in. Keep looking for better alternatives. Don't stop looking, because 3, 4, 5 years can go by very quickly with no progress, and that'll be the thing that will eat you up inside. Working in a pound shop or a fucking euro store or a fucking generic fucking petrol station, whatever, wherever you may or might be working, it's grand for the short term, because that's how you take those type of jobs, thinking it was like, this'll be short term, I'll get sorted with something else. So, you know, it's easy to make your peace with it then. But like, when a few years starts going by and you realize that you haven't moved a fucking pubic hair forward in your entire career path or your life in general, it's going to really start affecting your fucking mental health. Like, that shit's going to get you down when you're like, my God, I can't believe I've been spending 3 years working in a pound shop. You know, something I know of myself. And then I quit that job and got another job at another pound shop. But, yeah, but like, no, that's the thing that leads you up inside. So when you get a job in a retail setting, just don't stop looking for better alternatives, and, you know, take them when you can get them. This is just you're only getting that job to pay the bills, because you're never going to make money in that job. Realistically, the best you can hope for is a manager job, and you only get promoted in them types of jobs when somebody else leaves. In most jobs nowadays, you never get promoted unless somebody higher above you leaves and you're just about qualified enough. Because as long as your manager doesn't leave their job, you're never going to get a manager job, you know? So, yeah. Always keep your eye on the door. Fucking keep planning, looking for other shit. That'd be my main advice. Next question is from Al McElhannon, the old YSSC McElhannon, who's been a frequent viewer of my streams. Streams I haven't done in a while, actually. I really need to get back to that. Says, I recently started dating a longtime friend of mine, and we've both found that we liked each other. But whenever we go out, it just doesn't seem right. I feel like we're both kind of awkward, and we're kind of thinking that we shouldn't do this. Got any tips how to make it less awkward? So basically, you have a longtime friend, you both started dating, and it's a little bit awkward. Yeah, well, that's to be expected, I'd say. I wouldn't date a longtime friend because of the awkwardness, but you know, the human race is an adaptive species, I will say. I can't imagine that awkwardness would be permanent. That's probably just like a transitionary kind of emotion, you know? If you really do like each other that way, and you want to get your boots off there and go knee deep and fanny, you're probably, I don't know, just stick it out. Eventually the awkwardness will pass, you know? That'd be my theory if you both get on. Because, like, let's be fair, like, sexual tension is not, or like, the sexualness long term in a relationship is not what keeps it together. Like, you know, sex is important and what have you, but really what keeps a relationship going is whether or not the two of you get on and have a laugh. That's kind of a lot more long term. And then, you know, sex would be a close second, to be honest, though. But, you know, once I think that awkwardness would go away, I wouldn't worry about it. Right. And now we got a next question from Brian Flick. Says, ah, yes, the question. How long do you think you're going to do this YouTube thing? Not old age being a factor, I can tell you what. I don't know how long I'm going to do this YouTube thing. That is a very good question. I don't know. Until it gets completely insufferable to keep doing. Like, I think I'll always be content creating in some way, shape, or form. It may not be always animation videos. You know, maybe one day I'll change it up and want to do something else. Everybody likes a pivot in life, change direction, keep things fresh as you do. But I think content creation, I'll always enjoy doing. You know, because I was doing it before I became a YouTuber, so I hope to do it after I stop doing whatever I'm doing on the main channel, because, you know, that I'm sure that has a shelf life as well. I'm not oblivious to that. But I just think I'll be in the same space, I'll just be doing something else, you know, so who knows, maybe I could finally do a career in stand-up comedy. I don't know, I simply wouldn't have the confidence for it, but yeah, I'll definitely be in the same space. Short films and stuff like that, that's something I've been really tempted lately to get back into doing. Like, I want to invest in a camera, like a decent quality camera, and maybe do some maybe behind the scenes, like vlog style stuff for Patreon and YouTube and all that, but it's kind of hard to do them when you don't show your face, you know. Not impossible, mind you. It'll just be difficult. I don't know. Maybe that's something for, like, down the road. Whenever I do a face reveal, we'll see. That's the thing with the face reveal as well. It's like, as time goes on, I'm less and less willing to... I'm less and less fond of the idea of actually doing one. It's weird, but I just kind of fucking now that the novelty of being a YouTuber and all that has kind of worn off, I'm kind of really enjoying being just another fucking face in the crowd when I'm out and about, you know? You know, I'm small time now anyway by most YouTuber standards, so it wouldn't really be a factor. But, you know, if that were to change and the channel was to go, you know, 10 times even bigger, you know, I might get a bit of fucking annoying after a while. You know, I don't want to be going to the shop to buy a few cans of an evening or a fucking yoke of milk and just have to interact with people all the time. Because then, you know, then you're going to be like, oh, am I going to bump into somebody? I just really don't want to interact with anybody. You know, but I also promised it. So there's that. But anyway, lads, you know what time it is, don't you? Yes, it's time for Quack Me Up Corner.
Quack, 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 quack me up. Quack, 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 quack me up.
Get your ducks in order. It's time for Quack Me Up Corner.
Right, in honor of it being just after Christmas, I thought, what better than some terrible fucking Christmas cracker jokes to liven the mood? Realistically, they're just dad jokes, let's be fair. So what I've done is I've gotten three nice fucking top shelf dad jokes. And then I've got one decent joke at the end, which I'm, as I was like writing it down, what joke I was going to tell, I was just like, have I told this before? So I may have told it before, but I'm not going back and listening to hours of podcasts just to check. So I think I haven't. So we're probably all right with that. Right. First joke. What are the strongest days of the week? Saturday and Sunday. All the other ones are weak days. So bad. I love it. Right. What did the baby corn say to the mama corn? Where's popcorn? That was especially bad, wasn't it? That was awful. I mean, I'm feeling a little bit fucking dirty in myself for saying that. Oh, God. Right. Third terrible joke. I used to work in a shoe recycling shop, and I can tell you, it was soul destroying. That's so bad. Right. And a final joke. Just end on a relatively decent joke. So a fella shows up to a fancy dress party, butt-ass naked with a woman up on his back. And the host says, "Hey, where do you think you're going? This is supposed to be a fancy dress party." And my man says, "I am in fancy dress. I'm a turtle." And the host was like, "A turtle? Then who's that on your back?" He goes, "That's Michelle." And I hope you enjoyed those three terrible and good jokes. You know, the best thing about dad jokes and Christmas cracker jokes is, most people know this, but they're purposely designed to make everybody in the room groan, because it's more inclusive, because everybody's laughing at the joke together, you know? So there is a little bit of method behind it. Do you know what I did also recently in these last few months? I went to the dentist. I did, and I fucking hate the dentist, and I went anyway. I'll tell you what happens, because like first of all, I'm like not great at looking after my teeth, but I'm not terrible at looking after them either, you know? I'm kind of like middle of the road. But a while back there, I was picking something out of my teeth, because I do this with bits of plastic or whatever. I can't stand the feeling of food stuck between my teeth. So I was like picking something. It felt like something was stuck between my teeth. So I was like picking it out. And next thing, something like a little chip of white fell out of my mouth. I was like, oh shit, am I after chipping my tooth? So I was like, what the fuck? So I basically jammed my phone inside my mouth, to try get an angle to take a photo of the tooth that I thought that I chipped. And it turned out I did. I didn't chip it, but there was like a tiny hole in it. I think there might have been a small cavity in it that had like become covered with plaque, and then I just knocked the plaque out of place. But yeah, I realized there's a hole in my tooth, and I'm just like, ah, shit. Because I fucking hate the dentist. And but a hole in your tooth is like, you definitely have to go and get a fill-in to get this addressed. So there's no way around it. It's like, shit, now I'm going to have to fucking go. Now I can tell you, like, my fear of the dentist came from when I was, I'm going to say about 16, 17, something like that. And I went to the dentist and I was getting a fill-in done. It was one of my molar teeth at the back. It was like the bottom one, the bottom ones. And I don't know if he just didn't use enough like numbing stuff or what, but when he was drilling that tooth before the fill-in, when he was just drilling in with that fucking stupid high-pitched drill that gives me the fucking heebie-jeebies, that high... oh, Jesus Christ, it's a horrible fucking sound and feeling and everything. But when he was drilling in, it felt like he was digging that into the nerve of my tooth. Like, it was so fucking painful. Tears were rolling out of my fucking eyes on the table as he was drilling away. But the problem is, I was young and very shy, so I wouldn't speak up and tell him, "Hey, that's really painful." So I just stayed there silent as he was drilling away in fucking agony and got through it. And ever since then, I've just been like, I don't want to feel that feeling ever again. That was fucking horrific. So that really put me off dentists for ever, pretty much. You know, thankfully, I never had any problems with my teeth from that point on, really. Actually, no, that's a lie. I broke one of my back teeth that I had to, and then I had to get it pulled, but that was sheer stupidity because I thought picking food out of my teeth with a scissors was a smart idea in my late teens. But that was just a tooth pull and it was already fucking broken at that point. But whatever. So I didn't go back to the dentist for, after that point for 14 years it's been. But obviously, as I said, I got the hole in my tooth, so I had to go. Now, the Mrs. Connie, she hates the dentist as well. I don't think anybody likes the dentist. Like, nobody goes, you know what I'd love today? I'd love for somebody to stab me into the face 3 times with a needle and then take some masonry tools and rattle my skull. You know, nobody goes out of the way and wants that. But we just hate it, especially more. We just hate it more than most. But she needed some work done as well because she was getting some pain when she was biting down on one side of her mouth. But again, she was kicking the can down the road like I was, just like, oh God, I don't want to see a dentist unless I absolutely fucking have to. So I convinced her and myself to go. We booked in at the exact same time because problem is, like, we're adults now, so we don't have our parents to bring us into the dentist anymore. We have to be responsible for ourselves. They don't tell you this when you become an adult, that you have to do shit. You have to make your own doctor's appointments. You have to go to the dentist by yourself. This shit's ridiculous. Nobody warns you about this shit. You have to do this on your own. One thing they don't tell you about getting older as well is you don't feel old. You still feel young. I'm 33. I still feel like I'm fucking 17, you know? But we were brave. We went in. Now, and I knew I needed some work done. There was one fill-in that was like on my other, the opposite side of my mouth of where I got the cavity. There was one fill-in that had, like, failed, so it was, like, it was sore. So I basically went into him, and he had a look around me mouth anyway, and he was like, yeah, so you need the fill-in replaced on one side that was failing, and then you obviously have a cavity there, so that needs a fill-in, but the rest of your teeth are fine. So I was like, okay, good news. I don't need any, because you know when you go into a dentist, they're like, oh, you need 17 fill-ins. You're like, what, since when? I've not had a, this is a checkup. What the fuck? You know? But thankfully, it was just the two. So I was just like, grand, yeah, it'll stick me in the face and fill in both my teeth. Job done. One trip. Never have to go back again. At least that's what I tell myself. But no, so he's like, so I'll fill in this side today and then we'll book you in for another appointment to get the other side done. I'm like, can you not do both? And he's like, no, we only do one side or the other there. Whatever fucking stupid policy they have in place, they can't do both sides on the same day. They have to do it in separate days. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, it's become two fucking trips. He injected me, as he do. And, like, the injection, I think, is, like, now it's the worst part. I thought the drilling was bad before. No, the injection is actually the worst bit because it was, like, the top row of the back teeth and he had to inject into the roof of my mouth. Now, some of you will fucking recoil in horror just hearing that. But the worst thing is, like, when he's injecting it into the roof of the mouth, you can feel the pressure he's putting on the needle. And then obviously my eyes are open because I'm always just looking around the room and shit like that. So I can see a needle. It's this big fucking industrial metal thing that you'd see in CIA laboratories back in the 1940s. Just this ridiculous fucking Frankenstein's monster needle. Looks horrific. And he's sticking that in the roof of your mouth and you can feel the pressure he's putting behind it to pierce the skin in the roof of your mouth. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. I turned into fucking Schmeagol on the table there. No, the precious. That was horrible. It was like one in the roof of the mouth, then one on the outside of the gum, and then, you know, whatever. That was fine. Gave it that, and I got the filling. It was grand. The filling itself was reasonably painless. You know, felt a bit of vibration, a bit of sensitivity, but ultimately it was fine. You know, it was worse in my head than it was in reality, as it often is. You know, you kind of build these things up. And that was grand. Same with Connie. She got on more or less grand with hers then as well. Second appointment went back, and the thing with the second appointment, I was a little bit worried because it was the filling that failed was the same filling that was the really painful tooth from years previous that gave me the fucking fear of the dentist. So I was kind of like, what if it wasn't the dentist's fault back then? What if that tooth is just really fucking sensitive to anything and I'm going to feel it all over again? Because not only is he going to be giving me a filling, he's going to drill out the old fucking filling out of that fucking tooth before he puts in a new, fresh, nice looking one. So I'm like, oh fuck, what if it's that? And turns out, yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, it's that tooth is unbelievably fucking sensitive because he drilled it out for the most part, like most of the drilling, completely fine. Like, I will say, before he started drilling, he gave me an injection in the jaw, which is not nice. If anybody's ever got an injection into the fucking jaw, that feels horrible as well. It's almost as bad as the roof of the mouth. I think the roof of the mouth is by far the worst. But yeah, but he was drilling it out and it was fine. The drilling bit wasn't sore at all. But when he was blowing it, like he used this fucking compressed air thing for blowing, I suppose, shrapnel out of the way. But when he's blowing it, it's like that cold air hit straight on the exposed nerve of my tooth and just fucking, like an electric shock went down my spine. I was like, Jesus fucking Christ! Like, notably winced in the table when he did it. And I'm like, I'm fucking numbed up to me gills here and I can fucking feel that. It was horrible. But that's not even the worst bit. The worst bit is that he filled in that tooth and that was grand. We left. And a couple of days later, I noticed the tooth that he filled the first on the left, the one that I had the cavity in, that I found the cavity in, it's still sore when I bite down on stuff. So I don't know if he missed it or there's a hidden cavity somewhere in it. So that means I'm going to have to go back a fucking third time, which is really fucking annoying. And I fucking hate the dentist. So yeah, there's no point to this story, lads. I'm just giving out. You know, to be honest, I think I'm probably going to do a video on the dentist, but I don't want to do it just yet because myself and Connie are looking into getting Invisalign done because she's got a couple of teeth in her bottom row that are kind of overlapping. And I have a gap in my teeth and it was always like a small gap, like bigger than most of the gaps in my teeth. It was always a small gap for most of my life, but now like in my 30s, my teeth are starting to shift around a bit. So this gap has actually become quite big. And I don't know when it happened, but it's obviously been gradual over the last couple of years, maybe 2-3 years. But the gap has gotten quite big. So since Connie says she's going to get the Invisalign done for herself, I'm just like, oh, fuck, we might as well keep this whole buddy system going with the dentist there. I might see if I can get that fucking gap closed because it's starting to look a bit gaudy. And like my two front teeth, like my teeth are more or less entirely straight, except for that gap, because one of my front teeth is after going at a slight angle over time. And now the tip of my two front teeth are touching and I can feel it. And it's weird. Although she has told me that apparently when you get Invisalign done, they put like a bracket on the back of your teeth, like a metal bracket to keep everything lined up after the fact when it's done and it's all straight. I don't know if I want a metal bracket. I wonder if it's possible to just say, can you just straighten them and give me a fucking retainer and lay me with that? I don't want to be fucking going around with scaffolding in my mouth, like, you know? Excuse me. So I'll probably wait until I get that done, or at least we're going to look to see, get it assessed and see if... See if any more dental stories come out of that, because I think that'd make for a good video, my whole dentist experience, you know. But what else is going on? We're going to be going to Disneyland in, I've forgotten. Connie, I tell you, this shit, I just don't retain. Like, is it in the next 2 weeks?
No.
Okay, then. And I just don't store it in memory. So tell me when it's 2 weeks away. But yeah. We're going in the first half of this year. We're going to Paris, Disneyland Paris, because that's closer. I don't feel like sitting on a fucking plane for 15 hours, you know, just to go to Disneyland. No, she wants to go for her 30th. Her 30th is coming up there now. And you know what women are like now when it comes to, especially turning 30, like they're bad enough with any fucking birthday, but 30, that shit just devastates them. They practically have a breakdown. I don't know why. Like, I think fellas kind of take 30 as it comes and they're just like, oh yeah, 30 is fine. But then again, I suppose like fellas typically don't peak looks wise until maybe mid 40s, something like that. If your fella looks after himself, he could probably hit his like fucking peak best looking at about 40, 45, you know, give or take. Whereas the most desirable women tend to be under 30, you know, in their 20s kind of thing. So maybe it's that, maybe it just hits them a lot harder than that. In that regard, but yeah, no, her 30th is coming up and she wants to do something big for it. So it's Disneyland Paris. So we're going to be more or less spending a fucking week wandering around Disneyland Park. Fun stuff. She's a big child. I'm a big child as well, but you know, I could do a day or two at Disney. I don't know if I can do an entire fucking week. Like, I made the suggestion. It's like, oh yeah, sure. Well, we're there. We can go in and see the Eiffel Tower and stuff like that. And she's like, oh, what? You want to see the rest of Paris? And I'm like, well, yeah, obviously we're going to be in fucking Paris. I want to see the Eiffel Tower and shit. I want to eat cheese at a weird cafe, you know? I want to do some French shit. We're not going to be just living in the fucking park for a week. And like, in her mind, she was just like, yeah, no, we're just going to be Disneying every single day of the week. I'm just like, no, come on now. You got to give me a day where we're away from the fucking park. I want to see the Eiffel Tower in person. I want to go see, you know, I want to do the touristy shit. I want to go to the Louvre. I want to see the art shit, you know? It's meant to be a lovely city. I haven't been there before. Let me see it. How shit would it be if you went to Paris and didn't see Paris? But it is another reason to get in a plane. God, I hate getting on planes. I'm not afraid of flying. I'm afraid of dying, you know? Specifically on a plane. There's something about planes that, like if I was to die on a plane, I'd be extra annoyed, you know? Because then somebody else killed me. Is by the fault of a pilot or a fucking incompetent mechanic who didn't fix the plane properly or something. It would be somebody else's fault. If I die by my own hands one way or another, like if I die of cancer because I spent a lot of my life smoking cigarettes, that's on me. If I die because I step out in front of a bus, that's on me. If I die in a plane crash, that's because somebody else killed me. I'd be fucking furious. Anybody else have that or is it just me? I've been thinking about it a lot lately because like a couple of months ago, and now I live in the back arse of nowhere in Tipperary, the county in Ireland, like right in the middle of the country. And a plane flew over the other day. I was out, I don't know what I was doing. I was outside, out in the yard anyway. I was doing something and a plane flew overhead and it was like a big jet, like a cargo plane. Like it wasn't like a fighter jet around. Like it was a cargo plane or something flew overhead. I know it was a cargo plane because I checked later, but it flew overhead, but it flew over really fucking low, like ridiculously low. And I don't know if you've ever seen a jumbo jet fly low over the back arse of nowhere with no airport nearby. It fucking freaked me out. I was looking up at it. It's like I could make out the fucking windows of it. It was flying so low. I was like, what the fuck? Actual fuck. Why is that flying low? It's like, is that about to crash? Am I about to see a fucking mental spectacle? I'm not wishing that the plane crashed, but it'd be kind of fuck cool if it did, you know? It's morbid, but how cool would it be to see that shit in person, in fairness? So I ran inside and like my brother was telling me about this thing. Like when the Russia-Ukraine war broke out, my brother was like looking at this flight tracker thing because he wanted to see all the planes over Ukraine. So it just popped into my head. I was like, oh fuck, I better run inside. If I check that, I might be able to see what kind of plane it was. And so I ran inside and I checked it. And it was a US military plane, a US military plane coming from Ukraine, or was it Poland, or like there's a city in Poland near the border of Ukraine. It's coming from Poland to Shannon Airport, which is about an hour and a half drive from where I live. But obviously it's quite near if you're in a plane. So it was a US military plane come to land in Shannon Airport. But I was able to check on the flight radar how high it was flying. It was flying 1,600 feet above the ground as it passed my house. Like, and I've been checking it periodically. I checked it periodically for a week. Nothing has been flying lower than about 12,000 feet, roughly. Even when flying into Shannon, which is a relatively nearby airport, still fucking an hour's drive anyway, at least away from the fuck away from my house. Shouldn't be flying that low. So yeah, that kind of freaked me out, but it was kind of a cool spectacle. I don't know. It's one of them moments where you're just like, oh, something bad could be just about to happen and it'd be cool. I have a real twisted viewpoint on life. Again, I don't wish that the plane crashed. I just thought if it just so happened to crash and I was in no way responsible for it or anything like that, it would be quite the spectacle. That's all I'm saying. I don't know why I've kind of fucking cornered myself into defending myself here over that, but yeah, no. But it freaked me out that it was flying so low because I was just like, is that about to crash? Why the fuck is it flying so low? The engines failed? What the fuck is going on? And then I like ran in and I told Connie, it's like, there's a plane after flying by ridiculously low. But because she didn't witness it herself, it flew by pretty quickly. So she wouldn't have had time to see it. Because she didn't see it, she didn't get the spectacle or she didn't realize how fucking low it was in the sky. So yeah, but I've entered the point of the realm of rambling, lads. So I'm going to end this podcast here because I have to do a little cheeky little edit to my video before I upload that tonight. I got to edit out all the swear words for YouTube before I upload that. So I'm going to go get that done now. So thanks everybody for listening, for tuning in. It's good to be back. I hope I killed some time in your life. I hope I filled the background of your life to, you know, help you do whatever it is you're doing, be it studying or working or fucking, I don't know, playing with your dick while looking at the wall. Who knows what you're doing? But until next time, I will catch you, lads and ladies, in the next one.